Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. In this week, we're going to be talking about the NFL mostly. They addressed their national anthem scandal. They have a new policy. And then we're also going to dive into the league's new deal with Nike and Fanatics. But before we do any of that, I want to remind our listeners that if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com because those are always welcome and appreciated. But now let's get into it. So last week, the NFL announced that it won't allow players to kneel on the field during the national anthem starting next season. So this all started 2 years ago when Colin Kaepernick, at first, I think he was just sitting on the bench, and then he started taking a knee. So these protests have now been going on for the last 2 years. It's become a huge, not only political thing, but just a debate in culture, in sports. And the NFL came out and said, we're not having it anymore. This is our new policy. So Roger Goodell, Commissioner Roger Goodell, and the 32 owners came together. And this is the quote from their press release. This is the following. This season, all leagues and team personnel shall stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. Personnel who choose not to stand for the anthem may stay in the locker room until after the anthem has been performed. We believe today's decision will keep our focus on the game and the extraordinary athletes who play it and on our fans who enjoy it. So they came out and just said, we're not going to have kneeling. And if you don't want to, if you don't feel like you want to stand for the national anthem, just stay in the locker room. So we'll see how that goes, but I want to get a little bit more into what the actual policy is. So some of this is the rest of the policy. Like I said before, all team and league personnel on the field shall stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. Like I said before, personnel who choose not to stand for the anthem may stay in the locker room or in a similar location off the field until the anthem is performed. And then any club who has a player go on the field and kneel will then be fined. It doesn't seem like it's going to be player-specific fines. It seems like the club or the team is going to be fined, and then maybe the team has discretion to fine the player if they like. And then they're also allowing each team to come up with their own set of rules that follow this as well. And so that was all from the press release. And then one thing's clear is that people aren't really talking about, I mean, the NFL is a year-round league, a 365-day-year league, but people are now going to be talking about the NFL until training camp starts because this is going to be on every sports talk show, which I guess maybe controversy isn't bad for the NFL. I don't know if this is what they want people talking about instead of the product on the field, but we'll see. Roger Goodell did throw in a couple really nice things about the players and their protests and how they feel the league has helped the players who are protesting have a platform. So this is a quote from Goodell. The efforts by many players have sparked awareness and action around issues of social justice that must be addressed. We are honored to work with our players and drive progress. It is unfortunate that on-field protests created a false perception among many that thousands of NFL players were unpatriotic. This is not and never was the case. And then he goes on to say that the NFL provides a unique platform that we have created and is unprecedented in its scope, and we will provide extraordinary resources in support of programs to promote positive social change in our communities. So they're saying we're going to help you bring awareness and fight these injustices that you see in your society while you were kneeling. We just don't want you kneeling. And that's what it comes down to. They don't want it to happen anymore. Whatever your political views are on it, I don't want to get into that at all, but that's what the NFL's policy is. But what's interesting is that the players, and this is what you're gonna hear a lot, the players were not consulted whatsoever. This is a business, but unlike lots of businesses, the NFL players have, well, not as much leverage as you might think because most of their careers are so short. You're never really going to see a lockout in the NFL like you would see in the NBA or the NHL or anything like that. But the players are not consulted. So the Players Association came out and just said, this is then reading from theirs, what they have to say about this. The NFL chose not to consult the union in the development of this new policy. NFL players have shown their patriotism through social activism, their community service in support of our military and law enforcement, and yes, through their protests to raise awareness about the issues they care about. Then they go on to say that this contradicts what they've been told earlier this year when they had meetings between the Players Association and the league and the owner. So this is going to be an ongoing issue this summer, all the way leading up to the first game when we see if players come out and actually kneel and then just start getting fined and fined and fined. And you already had two big stars from the Eagles Super Bowl winning team come out and say, basically straight up, we're still going to do this. We don't care. So this to me, I mean, I don't really care either way what's going on, but it's funny that it's just become so, so divisive and neither side can really seem to see how the other one believes what they believe at all. But what it comes down to, definitely for the NFL, I don't think most of the owners care. And this, what they're really worried about is the ratings are declining. And if they think that this has anything to do with it, they're going to try to end it. That's what it comes down to. The ratings were down almost 10% last year. From the previous year, they were down big as well. And this is all according to Nielsen. Ad revenue fell by 1.2%, even though overall spending, like the amount they were able to charge per commercial, was more expensive. But they had to make so many make goods because they promised these advertisers, this is how many people you're going to reach. When the ratings decline, then the numbers don't add up, so you have to do a lot of make goods. The divisional rounds were down. The conference championship rounds were down in the NFL. And this is going to be a big problem when their TV rights deals come up in the next couple of years. They want all of the leverage and negotiating power, and they don't want this to be anything that NBC, Fox, ESPN, CBS bring up during their next negotiations and say, hey, we don't want this to be an issue whatsoever. So we'll see how this plays out over the next few months and then the upcoming season. It'll certainly be interesting, especially if you can just kind of take a step back and just view it without any emotional attachment, which I know is hard to do for a lot of people, but it's become almost a soap opera in the NFL that they don't want. But the NFL still is a big, big primetime ratings juggernaut. They had 33 of the top 50 live program on television last year. But this controversy is not going to help. And it'll just be, like I said, it'll be interesting to see how the league and the advertising partners and the broadcast partners deal with it. Because one thing I always thought is that if the league and the advertising partners and the broadcasting partners have so much money invested in this, if they just said, Commissioner Goodell said, hey, Fox, just don't put any of the players kneeling on camera, then only the people in the stadium would know about it. But they've clearly decided to take a much bigger overarching picture and say, this is not going to happen. Stay in the locker room. But like I said, we'll see how that goes from there. But I want to then transition into another NFL topic that is a little more lighthearted, a little less politically divisive, and that is their new deal with Nike and Fanatics. So Fanatics is a company that maybe not a lot of people have heard of, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But the NFL approved a deal last week that Fanatics will make all the adult fan gear, including jerseys, for a 10-year period starting in the 2020 season. So they'll sell all the retail goods at retailers, NFLshop.com, at the stadiums, at places like Dick's Sporting Goods. And for those of you wondering, how is Nike involved exactly? Because Nike's the company that sponsors the NFL. Their swoosh will appear on all of this gear. They're just not going to be making it. So it's interesting to me, and it's also something that when I was doing research for this, I didn't realize how prevalent it was up to this point, especially with fanatics. And then the question becomes, why are they doing this? And the answer seems simple enough. I want to backtrack real fast. Nike will be making all of the players' gear still. So all of the everything the players are still wearing, especially their uniforms, Nike is making that. None of that's coming from Fanatics. I just wanted to clarify that for you. But the question is, why is the fan gear going to come from Fanatics, and why are they making it with the Nike logo on it? And it comes down to the NFL said they want to be more nimble. They're trying to increase their real-time ordering and delivery capacity, which is what's happening in everywhere in the retail world. They want to be able to have fans who are, say, at the game and saw some random guy who they never heard of. He scores a huge touchdown on a Sunday night. He wasn't even supposed to play. I want to buy his jersey tomorrow. That's what they're going for. And Fanatics has the ability to do that. And that's what they're going to do going forward. And now the rest of the episode, I kind of want to focus on Fanatics, because it's a company, for as much as I love sports, it's a company I knew about, but I didn't really know how much power and influence they had on sports merchandise and on professional and collegiate sports e-commerce business all around the world. So that's what we're going to do for the rest of the episode. And I found it really fun. So I hope you guys find Fanatics' business model and their story pretty interesting. So Fanatics, their model is vertical commerce. So they control everything from mobile to the shipping. And it's broken down into four sectors: direct-to-consumer retail, third-party e-commerce, syndication, licensing and manufacturing, and fulfillment services. And like I said, they refer to it as vertical commerce. That's something you've probably heard a lot, especially recently, as people want more and more, say, two-hour delivery. It's really hard to fulfill that if you aren't controlling every aspect of the supply chain, from ordering to getting it out to actually shipping it. So the company's owner and CEO, Michael Rubin, he sold his old company, which was called GSI Commerce, to eBay for $2.4 billion in 2011. And then he bought back the sports e-commerce branch of that company right after that. So he didn't stay on with eBay. And then he's now turned to that sports business that he took back from eBay into this massive Fanatics business that's quietly running all of the merchandise you're buying that's sports related. So his business back then was running e-commerce for, and this is from their old website, 150 of the top 500 internet retailers, and they were running e-commerce for over 2,000 total. They were doing Toys R Us, Dell, Ralph Lauren, Estee Lauder, Dick's Sporting Goods. And some listeners might actually know Rubin as the co-owner / minority owner, however you want to say it, of the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Jersey Devils. And he also just tried to buy the Carolina Panthers, but that didn't go through. He also was the guy, if you pay attention to the music world or the NBA, he was the guy that picked up the rapper Meek Mill from prison in a helicopter and then flew him to a Sixers game that night. It was a big story. I think maybe it was a month ago at this point. But he's also, as I said, a huge now sports business mogul. And jumping back into more of his philosophy and how he's grown this company, and it's pretty simple, but it's also relatively genius. So his idea is that you can't compete with Amazon or Alibaba selling TVs or something that's generic, but what you can beat them at is selling something that's very specific that can't be found in that many other places. And he pointed to in a Wall Street Journal article I was reading was, it's harder to find a Sixers-specific jersey on Alibaba than my websites. And that's what they're doing. in what was pointed out in some things I was reading about this new Fanatics and NFL deal is that it seems like Amazon's going to be locked out from selling official NFL merchandise for the next decade, which is pretty crazy once this deal kicks in. And now I want to dive into a little bit more about who Fanatics works with and how they grew to be so big without a lot of fanfare, to say the least. So Ruben's parent company owns Fanatics, Fans Edge, Kit Bag, and Majestics brand, and a memorabilia company. Through all those companies, they run 300 online and official partner stores for almost every big sports brand or team you can think of. They run the official e-commerce websites for all of the North American sports leagues you can think of: NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, NASCAR, Major League Soccer, PGA Tour. That's pretty crazy that this company is behind all of that. They also run NBC Sports Web's e-commerce website, CBS Sports e-commerce platform, Fox Sports. As I said, 200 different collegiate teams in the United States, including big wigs like Alabama. And then when they bought this Kit Bag, which if you know anything about soccer, a kit refers to the uniform in European soccer countries. And so they own the e-commerce websites or run the e-commerce websites for the likes of Manchester United, Real Madrid, Manchester City. So some of the biggest teams in the world, this company is running their e-commerce websites. So in 2013, I wanted to dive in a little bit more of the history. They raised $170 million in new funding led by Alibaba, which raised their valuation to around $3 billion at the time. Then the next year is when they announced a huge deal with NASCAR. And then in 2015, they signed a 17-year deal to operate Major League Baseball's e-commerce business. And then that next year, they did this, or that actually that same year, they did the same thing with the NFL. And this is laying the foundation for the deal that just went through because they were focused on these, what they quoted as micro moments, where something happens in one game, a player you never heard of, you want to buy their jersey that night on your phone. Fanatics is going to handle that for the NFL. And what's one of the most interesting deals that also is exactly what happened with Nike is, not exactly, but pretty much the same thing, is that they signed a deal with Major League Baseball, 10-year deal, where they're going to make all of the fan gear and Under Armour is going to make the actual player gear. So that could be a trend that just starts happening maybe throughout more sports where you see companies like Adidas have Fanatics take over the fan gear for Real Madrid or Bayern Munich, and they just make the actual kits for the players. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do with that going forward. But as of September of last year, so September 2017, Fanatics closed a $1 billion funding round led by SoftBank. And at this point now, all four major North American professional sports teams have an equity investment in the company. Major League Soccer does as well. And it's just been really, it's really interesting to see what this company quietly did over a relatively short period of time that they've just now taken over e-commerce in North American sports, both at the collegiate level and the pro level, as well as huge international soccer clubs. So I just thought that story was really interesting, and it's definitely a company you could see maybe going public or getting bought by a big company because they did this pretty quickly, and sports is something that's not going out of style anytime soon, even though I just led the show with the NFL's worries and controversy. People are still watching the NFL. Like 15 million people a game are still watching the NFL. So it's, for as much as the kneeling has supposedly hurt, the ratings are down, but that's TV in general. But that does it for this episode. But I want to say that next week we're going to have a big blowout end of the season of the NBA because their business is trending in a different direction from the NFL. Their business is booming. We're going to talk about that. And then the next week we're going to do a big blowout World Cup episode before that kicks off on June 14th. So once again, that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.